Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. Today on Fenestration number 3, we're going to talk about Windows licensing. Despite my best efforts, on occasion there are times when nothing other than Windows will do. There are pieces of software which only run on Windows, and for which no adequate Mac substitute can be found. A good example of this is Microsoft Visio. Now, there are very good drawing programs on the Mac, OmniGraffle for example, but the problem with those is they won't open Visio files directly, and if somebody sends you a Visio file to work on, then Visio is what you need. So at this point, you're forced to turn to emulation or virtualization, depending on the type of Mac you have. Of course, this is exactly what Steve Jobs had in mind when he migrated the Mac to the Intel platform, to allow people to run Windows when they had to, and Apple's support of the Bootcamp Beta is a good example of how they are making this happen. But whether you're running Virtual PC on a PowerPC Mac, Parallels on an Intel Mac, or Bootcamp, you need a copy of Windows to run in your environment. Now, in the past, this used to be considerably easier than it is today. Most people will have an old copy of Windows floating around the place. It may have been supplied with an older PC, or they may be able to get one from their employer that goes with a company laptop they've been given, or something like that. So what you would do is you would install this Windows under your emulated or virtualized environment, and you'd be good to go. Unfortunately, this is no longer the case. Looking at Windows XP as the principal example, being the most recent operating system that people want to run under a Windows environment, Microsoft have introduced lots of changes in an attempt to cut down on piracy. There's an awful lot of piracy of their software going on, and Microsoft decided they don't want to stand for it anymore. There are three ways that they protect Windows XP from piracy. The first is a product key. This is something that needs to be entered during the Windows installation, and is typically found on a certificate on the packaging for the CD you have for Windows. If you don't get this key right, Windows isn't happy and it won't install. Secondly, depending on the product key you've supplied, you may have to product activate Windows once it's booted up the first time. This involves connecting it to Microsoft servers and registering your product key with them and getting a validation key back. What this also does is it scans your hardware and effectively locks your product key to the hardware type that you've installed Windows on. If you change the machine at a later date, then you would have to reactivate Windows, and that gives them a further opportunity to check your key. Finally, Microsoft now has something called Windows Genuine Advantage. When you connect to the Windows Update site to download all the latest security patches, and trust me, with Windows, this is something you're doing all the time, they install a piece of software called Windows Genuine Advantage, which actually looks at your product key and compares it to databases of product keys they have back on their servers that are known to be pirated. If they find that you've got a pirated key or they're not happy with your key, then they won't let you download any software updates. And Windows will start reminding you that, in their view, you're using a pirated version of Windows and you should really do something about it. Now, all of this is a far cry from installing OS 10.4 Tiger on a Mac. There are probably a variety of reasons for that, which I'm not going to go into at this point, because I'm talking about Microsoft on Windows in particular. Now, the product key and product activation has been with Windows XP ever since it was launched, but Windows Genuine Advantage is new. I actually have some misgivings about their approach here, because what they're going to do is force people not to download updates if they're using a less than genuine copy of Windows. But they have said what they won't do is block those systems from working. So we'll have a whole load of unpatched systems out there, probably clogging up the internet with all sorts of security breaches, denial of service attacks, and zombie attacks. But I digress. Anyway, the long and the short of it is that if you want to run Windows XP under an emulated or virtualized environment on a Mac, you need to have a proper copy of Windows in which to do it. Otherwise, you'll get nowhere. Now, if you're a virtual PC user, you can buy a copy of Virtual PC with XP as a license. And that solves the problem, because that's a genuine copy of XP supplied by Microsoft with Virtual PC. However, I think I should mention at this point that you can't take that XP license and use it anywhere else. You can't use it on a separate Windows machine, and you certainly can't use it in Parallels or Bootcamp going forward if you upgrade to an Intel Mac. So you might want to bear that in mind. For Parallels or Bootcamp users, you need to supply a proper copy of Windows for when you install it if you want to download updates from Microsoft's site. Bootcamp users really do need to download those updates. You could argue that Parallels users maybe don't. For instance, most people who use Parallels, like myself, just use it for particular Windows applications. I'm very careful not to actually browse the net from my Parallels installation, and in fact I've actually disabled some of the functionality to prevent me from doing that, because I don't need to. I'm running Parallels in a window, and I've got my Mac right there behind the Windows, the Parallels window, and if I need to browse the net, I'll do it from there, where it's a fair bit safer than browsing it under Windows. I don't want my Parallels installation bogging down with spyware or malware that's been picked up as I go around the net. But a Bootcamp user doesn't have this option. If you're bootcamped into Windows, then you're in Windows, and you've got to take everything that comes with Windows. You can't really be booting back just to check a quick website and then boot back into Windows again. Now, under Bootcamp, you can only run Windows XP. You can't install any other operating system, and you certainly can't install different versions of Windows. So you really are stuck with providing a legitimate copy of Windows in order to run under Bootcamp. Now, one avenue you might be able to investigate is buying a copy off the net. I wouldn't recommend buying a copy off eBay, because you'll often get a copy that's been stolen, effectively. It might be a volume license copy that's been supplied to a corporation, either an individual company or to a big corporation like Dell or HP for installing on their machines. The problem is that Microsoft recognised that a lot of these copies of Windows were being used for piracy, and so Windows Genuine Advantage specifically checks if you've given a volume license key number that you're running on the correct hardware. Obviously, in a Bootcamp installation, you wouldn't be doing that, and you'd likely to have it blocked. That would lose your investment in the eBay item. Now, if you have a genuine retail copy of Windows that you've used on an old PC in the past, you may be able to contact Microsoft and explain to them what you're doing with it now, and allow them to transfer the license for you. They'll basically say, OK, you can't use it on the old machine anymore, but you can use it in your Bootcamp environment on your Mac. That's one avenue you might want to try. Something else is an exploitation of the Windows OEM license agreement. The license agreement that Windows supplies for OEM users says that it has to be sold with hardware, and that justifies the subsidized cost that Microsoft gives to the hardware vendors. This is exploited by some retailers who will sell you a copy of OEM Windows with a very cheap piece of hardware, like a mouse or something like that. And that is legal in Microsoft's view, and therefore they will allow the product key to work. However, again, you need to be very careful to make sure you trust your dealer on that, because if you do that and you find that the product key they supply you with the OEM version is blocked, that means that Microsoft have received a complaint, have investigated, and have decided that they don't believe the sale or that term method of sale is legitimate for that particular OEM license key. And that's one other avenue you can investigate if you find yourself in that blocked position. Microsoft, on their Windows Genuine Advantage webpage, do provide links to allow you to send in your copy of Windows, together with details of where you bought it, with a receipt, and they'll replace it with a genuine copy. And obviously they'll then go and investigate the sale and take whatever they deem to be the appropriate action. For non-Bootcamp users, i.e. people running Parallels or Virtual PC, there are other options. Microsoft's WGA program only covers Windows XP and Windows 2000, not Windows ME or Windows 98. You can use this to your advantage if you have an older copy of these operating systems lying around. What you need to do is check the license agreement with the software that you had. Make sure that it's not tied specifically to the machine you bought it with, i.e. it isn't an OEM copy but it's a genuine retail copy. If it is a retail copy and you're not using it on any other machine, then you should be okay to run it under a virtual environment such as Virtual PC or Parallels. Plenty of applications will actually run under Windows 98 or Windows ME, and this may be a cheap option for you if you just need to run a virtual environment for one or two particular apps. Just bear in mind that Microsoft has actually de-supported these operating systems now. You may have difficulties obtaining updates directly from Microsoft, and you certainly won't get any help with them if you have any software installation troubles. If these options don't help you, then unfortunately you are stuck with having to buy a genuine copy of Windows XP at the full retail price. If you're looking to buy an Intel Mac with the hope of using Bootcamp for gaming or for something like that, then you should bear in mind that you need to factor in to your purchasing decision the cost of that Windows license. somebody lending you a CD or giving you a brief trial copy or something like that just isn't going to work anymore, because Microsoft have closed this loophole comprehensively. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Everyone, Robert Hazelrig here with another speedy review. Today I'm here to tell you about a new lineup of hard drives from WeebyTech. The lineup of hard drives is called the Silver SATA 2, and yes, those are serial ATA hard drives. And if you really want to get the maximum performance out of these drives, you'll need to install a serial SATA PCI card. Just to give you a rough idea of the type of performance you get from a serial SATA versus a FireWire or a USB drive. My USB external hard drive was going to take 20 plus hours to copy 60 gigs. The FireWire hard drive was going to take about 4 hours to copy 60 gigs. And the Silver SATA was going to take about 20 minutes. So yes, these are extremely high performance hard drives. They come in a variety of different configurations. There is a single drive, there is a dual drive, and there is a drive that will hold up to 5 hard drives. A cool thing about these drives is that, well, they're not really drives, they're more or less bays. And if you need to replace a hard drive out of the system, it's very easy to do. There's just a couple of little clicks, then you can remove the drive and slap another one in there really quickly. Some of the other things that I liked about the overall drives themselves is that they have a very small footprint on the desktop. They look really nice because they use the same brushed aluminum metal that the G5 does, and they were extremely quiet. So if you need a well-made, high-performance external hard drive solution, I highly recommend the Silver SATA 2 by WeebyTech. You might want to hurry and get over to their website as soon as possible, because they just have a sale going on right now with some big price reductions. I'm not going to list the prices for all the different configurations. There's just too many configurations depending on what size hard drives you get in a 2 or a 5 bay system. The other thing you might want to check out at WeebyTech is they have a contest going on right now. If you take a 2-minute survey, you could win one of their Tough Tech external hard drives. So there you have it, the WeebyTech Silver SATA 2 external storage solution. Thanks for listening. This has been Robert Hazelrig with another speedy review.
One of our favorite internet radio shows is, in fact, an actual broadcast radio show. It's called From the Top, and it is broadcast on 250 radio stations nationwide in the United States, and is available worldwide from the website, which is fromthetop.org. Let's spell that. From, F-R-O-M, the, T-H-E, top, T-O-P, fromthetop.org. When you go to the website at fromthetop.org, at the radio and television drop-down link at the very top, click on radio stations, and that will give you the information on all the live radio broadcasts you can hear throughout the United States. If you go back to radio and television drop-down link at the top, my favorite part is Radio Show Archive, because they're up to show 140, and you can listen to and record on your own computer any of the radio shows that have been archived. The software that I use on the Macintosh is called Audio Hijack Pro, and we will have a link both to fromthetop.org and the Rogue Amoeba website, which is where you can get Audio Hijack Pro. It is the most enjoyable classical music program. It features kids 18 and under, 11 to 18, the most talented kids doing classical performances, mostly recorded in Boston at, what is the name of that place in Boston? Well, I can't remember it at the moment. But in any event, you can listen to the New England Conservatory of Music. That's right. Jordan Hall at the New England Conservatory of Music. The kids are great. The music is lively. The audience is terrific. And they have skits and little gimmicks. And it's just a wonderful show. I listen to it. I put it on my podcast. And when I travel, it is the number one thing that I listen to more than anything else. So I highly recommend 5 out of 5 FromTheTop.org and the From the Top live radio show. And then, of course, you can use your Audio Hijack Pro to listen to it. So Nemo's MyMac.com podcast, reviews you can use that won't make you snooze, will give the highest rating to the From the Top classical music show for, by, and about children. You do not need to be a child or even have a child or even like children to listen to it. You just have to like classical music and great radio. Any comments you want to give about my segment on the podcast, just send it to our new nosnooze@gmail.com email address. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your listening very much to the MyMac.com podcast. John Nemo signing off.
You're listening to the Dashboard Minute, right here on the MyMac Mini Podcast. Good day to all you dashboard users. I'm Guy Searle, and I would like to welcome you to the Dashboard Minute. The countdown is on, and there will only be 4 more shows after this one. Don't forget to make your Dashboard Minute opening and closing theme for the last show and send it to dbminute@gmail.com. The 2 widgets I'm going to talk about today are among the finest, in my opinion, of the available dashboard utility type widgets. These will keep you up to date not only for your widgets, but your applications as well that reside in the Applications folder on your main drive. Widgets, of course, are constantly being tinkered with by their authors, many times with new features that you won't know about unless you have the latest version. If you're like many, you might have anywhere from 5 to 10 pages of widgets. How do you go about making sure that yours is the latest one? Good news, widget update to the rescue. This widget was created by George Kandel and Mike Pogren. Its ease of use is certainly one of its best features. Simply click the update button, and this widget will look at your widget library and check with the major dashboard sites and compare version numbers. It will come back with links to all these various sites, which will take you out of dashboard for downloading. Do your high-speed internet thing, grab the updates, double-click to install, say yes to the annoying "do you want to replace this old thing with this new thing" message, and move on to the next. A truly great widget that should be in every user's library. Find it at all the major dashboard sites. That's Widget Update. The next one on my gotta-have list is another one from George and Mike, and by an odd coincidence, does almost the same thing as the Widget Update. This is called, shocker, Application Update, and it should come as no surprise that what it does is update the programs in whatever folder you point it to. Yes, this one requires a little work, but there are some script examples to go by. Also, this doesn't limit you to just the applications that are in your Apple's default folder. So, you have your paths picked out, you hit the update icon. Application Update will go out and find all the latest versions and show them from within the widget. Choose the update site of choice, and you'll be removed from dashboard and into your default web browser, directly to the download page for each application. Follow whatever instructions are required and move on to the next one on the list. Very easy and very useful. Probably one of the most amazing things here is that both of these widgets came from the same 2 guys. Find them at any dashboard site. That's the Widget Update and the Application Update widgets. 2 of the very best. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and I hope you'll come back next time on the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
Thanks for listening to My Mac Mini Podcast number 3. Be sure to listen to the My Mac Podcast number 94 this Thursday, August 10th, for the latest in Apple and Macintosh news, including reactions to the new Mac Pro desktop and macOS 10.5 Leopard preview, both unveiled this week at the WWDC. If you live in Michigan and are in traveling distance, the MyMac.com podcast will be recording our 100th episode live at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store at 3 p.m. on September 23rd, 2006. Listen for more details this week on the MyMac.com podcast with me, Tim Robertson, and my co-host, Chad Perry. Thanks.